You will find our text tonight in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And the title I gave to my sermon is Four Things About the Gospel. Four Things About the Gospel. And you might wonder, why is the minister preaching a sermon on the gospel? Why is he going back to the ABC of the faith? Why does he seem to enjoy so much preaching the things that are foundational to the Christian faith? Why does he not teach to us something new? I have two reasons why I insist so much on this matter. And the first reason is that this is the emphasis in Scripture. The Bible emphasis is the gospel. The Bible doesn't use much space talking about infant baptism. The Bible emphasis, the Bible focus, is not on Presbyterian church government. The Bible doesn't spend much time talking about the details of the second coming of Christ. These things are in Scripture. These things have their place in gospel preaching, but these things are not the center of the Bible. These things are not the heart of God's revelation. These are there, but the main thing, the center of Scripture, the emphasis, the focus, the aim, the goal of the Bible is to reveal the gospel. Brethren, from the beginning to the end, the Bible is talking about the way of salvation. It is a revelation of the only way for sinners to be saved. And that is the main reason why God has given to us the Bible. The Bible reveals to us Christ, who is the Savior of sinners. The Bible reveals to us the gospel, which is God's way to save sinners. It's a revelation of this truth. And everything in Scripture goes there to the gospel. And so, brethren, I think it is the duty of every preacher to follow the pattern of the Bible. So, if God in His perfect wisdom has appointed and inspired the Bible in such a way that the emphasis is the gospel, why on earth should I do something different? Why should a preacher do something else? Are we wiser than God? Do we think that we know more than God what is necessary and important for our congregations? The emphasis in Scripture is the gospel. And here you have the Apostle Paul writing not to an unconverted man, he's writing to a fellow minister. He's writing to a preacher of the gospel. And he's not ashamed to repeat and remind Timothy the gospel. Timothy knew very well that the gospel is Jesus Christ coming into the world to save sinners. And yet Paul reminds Timothy, by the way, this is the gospel, Timothy. Don't forget that. And Paul insists in his letter, though he's writing to churches, to congregations, to people that profess to be saved, that Paul insists again and again in explaining to them and proclaiming to them the gospel. And I feel, brethren, this is a mighty argument why we should preach gospel sermons in churches. But a second reason why I feel compelled to preach gospel sermons to you, it is because this is the emphasis in the ministry. This is the Bible emphasis about gospel preaching. In the book of Proverbs, there's one verse that I have quoted to you many times, but let me do it again. He that winneth souls is wise. It's not he that makes people free church is wise. It is not he that makes Baptist Presbyterian is wise, but he that winneth souls. This is the business why God has left us in this world. It is not to build manses and churches. It is to preach the gospel. It is to reach the lost. It is to tell them the only way of salvation. This is the emphasis in the ministry. This was the approach, the way of the ministry among the apostles. If you read their sermons were all about bringing sinners to the knowledge of Christ. And though they feed the flock, and though they give to them, to the Christians, teaching and instructions, yet their focus, their zeal, their passions was that sinners were saved. If you read in the first sermon preached at Pentecost from Peter, you will find at a certain point that he, with many other words, was trying to convince them to come to Christ. This is the focus. This is the biblical ministry. And if a minister doesn't do this, he fails. He's not obeying his heavenly call. The emphasis in the Christian ministry is to reach the lost. And those who are Christians here, how can you be happy? How can you leave this place knowing that the lost in this congregation have not been called to Christ? How can you live your life day after day knowing that those who are going to hell are abandoned and left to themselves? I think this is cruel. If a Christian, if a man or a woman that profess to be a Christian is unhappy to hear the minister calling sinners to come to Christ, let me tell you, there is something wrong in that Christian. You are going to heaven. Why should we forget those who are going to hell? Remember Jesus in his ministry. Remember that parable of the lost sheep. The good shepherd leaves the 99 who needs no repentance to find the only one that needs to be saved. So let's make things clear. Until there is one soul in this congregation going to hell, I am going to preach the simple gospel, Sabbath after Sabbath, until I am sure that all of you are saved. And I'm sure, brethren, you will understand this. And as I preach these simple gospel sermons, you will support your minister in prayer, asking that God's Holy Spirit would save sinners. So this just as a word of introduction. But let us move now to the gospel. What is the gospel? Our text tells us at least four things. And the first one is that the gospel, this divine message, is greatly needed. Greatly needed. And the reason why this message is so needed, it is because we are sinners. The Apostle Paul says that the gospel is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The gospel is God's answer to man's sin. The gospel is God's solution to our greatest problem, which is our enmity with God. It is greatly needed because of our being and our doing. It is necessary, it is needed, because we are sinners, as we often say in our prayers, by nature and by practice. We are hell-deserving sinners. And I hope, brethren, that you understand this and that you mean this when you pray. We are sinners. We are hell-deserving sinners. And all of us feel, if we are Christian, the chief of sinners. And so because of what we are, because of what we do, the gospel is a necessary message. It is greatly needed. Without this gospel, there is no salvation. The word gospel means good news. Without the gospel, there is no hope for us to be saved. There was no gospel. There was no Christ coming into the world to save sinners. There was no hope for us. No salvation, no redemption, no forgiveness, no eternal life. But because of what we are, the gospel is greatly needed. And this is true on an individual level, on a personal level. That means that every person, every soul in this congregation needs the gospel. This is not the need of the person sitting beside you. It is not the need of that bad person sitting behind me. This is the need of every soul in this congregation. It's a personal thing. You need to be saved. And you need, because you are a sinner, you need forgiveness. And the good news is something that you need, not the others, not we as a people, but we as individuals. You and I, our greatest need is the gospel of Christ. We are sinful creatures, unable to do good, going to a lost eternity. Our greatest need is for God to announce and proclaim to us the way to escape from hell and be in heaven at last. Greatly needed on a personal level. You and I need to be saved. You need the gospel. You need the gospel. And here is the Apostle Paul, and he makes the gospel personal. He said, of whom I am chief. He doesn't say, the Jews are the chief of sinners because they crucified Christ. I am the chief of sinners. And this is not only for the unconverted, it is for the Christians also. Have you noticed the Apostle Paul speaks in the present? He doesn't say, I was the chief of sinners. But the Apostle Paul, the great missionary, the great preacher, the man that could say, I give everything for Christ, the one who said, for me to live is Christ, he considers himself the chief of sinners. He needed the gospel. And so do we. All of us. You should be asking you about your answer to the gospel. The gospel is offered to you as a person tonight. And it is your answer to that gospel that will save your soul. It's not what will the other of the congregation will do. Will the other unconverted believe? No, it is you. The gospel is calling you to Christ. The gospel is offered to you personally, as an individual. Not just to the congregation as a whole, but to you as a person. And so what are you going to answer? What is your answer to the gospel call? You need the gospel. But this message is greatly needed in the church. In the church. What makes a church to grow? Is gifts, money, buildings? No. It is the preaching of the gospel. When the gospel is faithfully preached, when Christ is proclaimed, glorified, when Christ has the preeminence, when the cross is preached, when the gospel is offered, that congregation, that church will grow. That is the natural result of gospel preaching. I know there can be time of persecution, time when God withdraws his blessing from a church, but generally speaking, ordinarily speaking, when the gospel is preached, the church grows. So what the church needs in this age and generation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't need new strategy. We don't need new planning. We don't need a better organization. What we need, friends, is the gospel. What this congregation needs most is that the gospel will be faithfully preached. What the Free Church continuing need, brethren, is that the gospel will be preached every Sabbath in every congregation of our denomination. This is what we need. And this is true of every denomination. What the people of God needs to hear most is Christ and His cross. This is our need. And if you are a Christian, you should be praying God that He would leave the gospel to us. That He would keep us with the gospel. That He would not take away from us the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the very moment God does this, it's the end of our church. Immediately, as soon as the gospel is withdrawn from us, our time is over. We as a church need the gospel. But this is true nationally. Not just on an individual point of view, not just as a congregation and as a church. The gospel is the greatest need of Scotland. It is the greatest need of Scotland. And we might speak about certain needs of the land. We might speak about the need for a better government, for a better system, for a better justice, for more police and all this. We can talk for hours what would be best. But the only thing that will heal Scotland, the only thing that will make this place a place worth living, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the only transforming power for the land. And the gospel is preached, anointed, and accompanied by the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Only this will transform this nation. And so the need for Scotland in the rural area as well as in the cities is that we go there and preach the gospel to the people of Scotland. Let me ask you, as to myself and to you, are we doing this? As individuals, as a church, are we reaching the lost? Are we reaching Edinburgh? Are we reaching Glasgow? Are we reaching Aberdeen? Oh, we have our congregation here and there. What about Stirling? What about Perth? What about Livingston? What about all these cities? The gospel is what they need. This is what they need. And we should be praying God that He will do this. If not through us, through other churches. We should pray that God will bless the minister in these places and that God would anoint them, that people will be saved. It doesn't matter the name on the doors of the church. Whatever they are, if they preach Christ, we should rejoice, as Apostle Paul did. The nation needs the gospel. But also, friends, the whole world needs the gospel. The whole world. We can be very parochial in our attitude. And we can be very concerned with Inverness, very concerned with the Highlands, very concerned with Scotland. What about the rest of the world? I fear, brethren, when a church forgets the lost, when a church neglects the nation without Christ, there is a terrible deadness in that church. How can a church be not missionary-minded? How is this possible? Don't we see, don't we realize that what the world needs is not the UN, it is gospel preachers. It is the gospel preached to these people. What will transform Africa? What will transform Asia? By the gospel of Jesus Christ. What will deliver South America from superstition? What will deliver Italy from the Catholic Church? An army? No. The preaching of the gospel. And we should be, brethren, asking God that He would send his servants, and that his gospel would reach all nations and all tongues and all tribes, that the ends of the earth would be reached by the gospel of Christ. Because this is the greatest needs in the world. On a personal level, on a church level, nationally and worldly. This is a great need. And this is why Jesus sent his 12 apostles to the ends of the earth. And this is why the apostle Paul went in places where no one else preached before, that people might hear the good news of Jesus Christ come into the world to save hell-deserving sinners. This is the most wonderful news man will ever hear. There is no other news like that. Greatly needed, but secondly, surprising. It is a surprising news. That there is a good news from heaven for hell-deserving sinners, it is surprising. That the judge of the earth is willing to save sinners, it is the most surprising truth in the whole world. And I hope, brethren, that you have not lost the sense of wonder when you hear the gospel preached. When you think of the content of the gospel. When you think that the gospel speaks of Christ who came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. I hope you wonder, brethren, when you read that Christ came into the world not for the righteous, but for the unrighteous. Not for the godly, but for the ungodly. Not for the Pharisees and the religious people, but for the prostitutes and for the bad people of the society. I hope you wonder when you read that Christ came to heal the lepers and the blind and the rejected and the cast out of Israel. I hope you wonder at that. That Jesus didn't came just to do some good to the church, but to save sinners. Not to make Christians better people, not just to reform us, but he came to save sinners. Do you wonder at that? Are you surprised of this? The content of the gospel, a good news, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who dwells, a light which is unapproachable, the one who is in fellowship with the Father and the Holy Spirit, the one who is most glorious, came down to earth as a servant, to be born in a manger, in a stinky manger, not even in an inn, to save hell-deserving sinners like we are. Are you not amazed? All this for us? Not for good people? Not for people feeling, needing to be saved? But for sinners? The content of the gospel is amazing. That Jesus Christ came to save the chief of sinners. Not decent people, not half sinners, but the chief of sinners. The Apostle Paul. Jesus came to save the Apostle Paul, who was a Christ rejecter, a Christ hatred, a one who killed the people of God, who persecuted the church, a blasphemer of Jesus Christ, and Christ came for him. And for all of us who are saved, who are his believing people, for us, Christ came to take away all our sins and all our accusation and all the condemnation and all the guilt and that terrible destiny that was ours. It is a surprising message when you think of the content. But it is a surprising message when you think the extent of the gospel. It is not for the elect. It is for sinners. And I want you, brethren, to understand that the gospel is not for some, it is for everyone. Jesus died for his people. Jesus prayed and gave his life only for the elect. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is for everyone. Everyone should be hear the truth of the gospel. And when the gospel is preached, it is for everyone. It's calling everyone. It is calling sinners. It is good news for sinners. It's not good news for the elect. It is good news for sinners. Christ is offered in the gospel not to some, not to many, but to all. Even if they will never take it. Even if they will say no, yet the gospel to them is offered. Even to you who are here tonight, even to you that maybe will never receive it, Christ in the gospel is offered to you. The good news is also for you. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And you are a sinner. You are an hell-deserving sinner. If there is someone who needs this news, it is you. If there is someone who needs Christ, it is you. And the gospel is preached to you. You are told today that there is a Savior who is Christ. You are told tonight that Christ is able and willing to take away all your sins. You are told that if you believe on Christ, you will have eternal life. Though you are the chief of sinners, salvation is available in Christ. You know that. It is for everyone. So take it. Receive it. It's not for some. For all of us. But thirdly, the gospel is a message which is centered on Christ. It is greatly needed. It is surprising. It is Christ-centered. The Apostle Paul defines the gospel as Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He doesn't define the gospel as believing. He doesn't define the gospel as repenting. He doesn't define the gospel as conversion. He defines the gospel as Jesus Christ coming into the world. The good news is Jesus. He is the good news of the gospel. It is not simply that God is able to save, but that He has saved through Christ His people. The good news is that through Christ, God has reconciled the world to Himself. That through Christ, God has taken away everything that would separate sinners from Him, to be at peace with Him, to be in heaven with Him. Christ is the good news. And the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He's saying to Timothy, Timothy, don't bother very much about these new preachers and these new ideas and the new doctrines and all this fighting about little things and all these genealogies. Let them speak as much as they like. But you, Timothy, you preach Christ. You preach the gospel. Let them preach the law if they like. We preach the good news. The good news. The Apostle Paul made his life, the only business of his life, to preach Christ crucified. And this was the apostolic pattern. This was the way the Apostle Peter preached. This was the way Timothy did and John, to preach Christ crucified. That was their business. That was their ministry. That was their work. Christ was for them the gospel. And if you think, if you take away Christ, where is the good news? If you take away a Savior, if you take away Jesus, there's no more gospel. There's no more good news for us. If you remove the idea that Christ came into the world to take our place and to be punished in our stead, and to satisfy the wrath and holiness of God in our stead, there is no good news. Because our sins are still upon us, and we are still guilty sinners before God. So we are still going to hell. There is no good news for us. But when Jesus comes, and take upon himself the sins of his people, then here is the good news. The debt has been paid. Salvation has been purchased. Ransom has been paid. Forgiveness has been given. Sinners have been saved. This is the good news. And without Christ, there is no gospel. Christ is central. Christ is central. We have to preach him. We have to speak of him. Brethren, I am afraid that Reformed churches nowadays, not just in Scotland, but in America and in Italy, the few Reformed churches there, have lost this. They preach God. They preach repentance. They preach the commandments. They preach election. They preach the decrees. They preach the covenant. They never preach Christ. Yet, friends, if you went under the ministry of the Apostle Paul, it was Jesus from the beginning to the end. You could not listen to the Apostle Paul without hearing about Christ. You could not have fellowship with him without hearing about Christ. It was unthinkable for him to speak of anything else but Jesus Christ. And there is something wrong in our fellowship when we meet as families or as a congregation and we can speak of the weather and cars and jobs and houses, not even a thought about our blessed Lord. Let us make our business, brethren, to think about Jesus Christ, to commend him to our friends, to our children, to our families, to our neighbors. Let us make our business to speak well of Jesus, to glorify him, to give him the preeminence. He is our gospel. And this then what you need. If Jesus Christ is the good news, what else do you need? You need Christ. You don't need to become a member in this church, though we like that. We like that people coming forward. It's something that fills our hearts with joy. But what you need is Christ. Let me say, you don't need even faith. You need Christ. You might have the faith to move the mountains into the ocean. If there is no Christ, your faith is useless. You might have all the repentance and being sorry for your sin. There is no Christ to take away your sins. You are still a lost sinner. You need Christ. And the good news is that God is giving you and offering you freely Jesus. Not a message, not a religion, not a new lifestyle, but Christ. Why? Because if you take Christ, if you receive him, if you believe on him, he will save you from all your sins. Even if you are the chief of sinners, if you have Christ on your side at the judgment day, you will be saved. So, take Christ. Don't take our standing. Don't take our confession of faith if you don't like it. But take Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Ask him, Lord Jesus, save me. This is the only thing that will make you a Christian. Remember, for the chief of sinners, not for sensitive sinners, not for sensible sinners, not for those that feel a need to be saved, for sinners. So don't be waiting when something happens in your heart, but you believe in Christ now. You take Christ now and he's offered to you in the gospel. He is the only thing that you need. But lastly, this gospel is true. Is true. The Apostle Paul is here confronting this new teaching coming into the church. And he's confronting this to the gospel. And he says to Timothy, this is a faithful saying. This is the truth. There is no other truth but this gospel. Do not listen to the others. This is the thing that you have to preach. And they might come with new theories and new ideas and new interpretations, But this is the true message. This is divine, the divine truth for man. This is God's news, God's good news for sinners. And the apostle said to the Galatians, if an angel from heaven comes and preaches to you another gospel, let him be anathema. Let him be cursed. There is no other gospel but the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is true. It comes from a true God, from a God who cannot lie, a God who cannot deny himself, a God that cannot deny his word. If God, the true and living God, says that Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved, it must be true. It must be true. There are no other ways if God says there is one way. If God says it is by grace through Christ, it's useless to try with works, because the true and living God said works are useless. It is grace in Christ. It comes from a true God. But it is a true message, and this is proved by the fact and the lives of the Christians. The Apostle Paul is saying, this is a true saying. This message is reliable. Timothy, don't be afraid, don't be ashamed. This is the truth. And my life, it's a proof of it. I was the chief of sinners, and Christ saved me. Christ saved me. That was an argument that the Apostle Paul is using to prove that the gospel is true. He's saying, Timothy, if the gospel wasn't the true way, if the gospel was not the good news for sinners, why then am I saved by that gospel? He's arguing with him, Timothy, this is true. You know me. You know what happened to me. I've been transformed by this gospel. So, my friend, you might not believe scripture. You might doubt theology and ministers. Maybe your parents are Christians. Maybe your brothers and sisters. Maybe your children are Christians. Their lives proves to you that the gospel is a faithful saying. You might know all their weak points, you know all their sins, you know their failures, you know their bad doings and wrongdoings, you know all these things. And yet you know very well that they are saved. You know very well that Christ has forgiven all their sins. We who are Christians are living witnesses that the gospel is true. Jesus saved me, and Jesus, in his wonderful grace, has saved many of us. He will surely save others if they come to him. If Jesus saved me, as very often preachers say, surely he's able to save you. And this is not just a way of saying things. Friends, I want you to understand, if Jesus was able and willing to have mercy upon me, he will surely have mercy upon you if you ask him for mercy. It is a faithful saying. It's worthy of our acceptation. It means, brethren, no works. It means faith. It's something that you have to believe. It is God saying, there is nothing required, for Christ came into the world to save sinners. Sinners don't have to change their life. God will change for you. And this is the message. It's worthy of acceptation. It is proved in the life of many. Will you receive it? Will you believe this message? Will you accept Christ? Will you receive Jesus to be your Savior? Will you accept and let Christ be the Savior of your soul?